Hello, and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth, and I am your host, also known as White Fox SG. We are the Mercenary Star Podcast that covers the storied mercenary units in the Battletech universe, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, Chandler, from On the Origins of Battlemix. Chandler, how's it going?
Hello, hello. It's going pretty good. Pretty good, you know. Just another day in paradise.
Good, good. Hey, I heard you like Battletech.
I might.
Good, good. Well, today we are going to cover the Chaos Irregulars for episode 21. Chandler
they're
brought
they're chaotic. And they're mercenaries.
Absolutely. They fit all the requirements for this show. So thank you for joining me. But first, let's get to know Chandler for just a minute, shall we? First of all, how and when did you get into Battletech, Chandler?
So someone cue the 20 questions music.
That's right.
Well, my very first exposure to Battletech was Mech Assault back in the day.
Okay.
Ironically, I went Mech Assault 2, then Mech Assault 1.
Well, that's okay.
I just missed the original on Xbox.
Yeah.
Because reasons. Timing. But then I actually got into Battletech in like 2019 with... I think I ended up watching one of Tex's MechWarrior Online videos. One of his funny ones. I was like, this is hilarious.
Absolutely.
And I was... talked to my buddy. I was like, we gotta play MechWarrior Online together because this looks like it's hilarious. Was not hilarious, but it was fun enough. And then, you know, he was like, hey, they got a Kickstarter going for the minis, and of course, you know, he can convince me to do pretty much anything. So
yeah,
I of course made horrible financial decisions and got in on the Kickstarter.
Didn't we all?
I was a late backer to the Clan Invasion Kickstarter.
Okay, all right.
Back in the day.
Well, good.
You know, it's been a terribly horrific ride on my wallet since then.
Yeah, but it's been fun at least, right?
Yes, it's been fun. It's been worth every cent.
Good. And I think you came into the Wolfneck crew about the same time I did.
Yeah.
We immediately were like two people trying to, you know, be involved, and you know, I think we were some founding members of 3rd Battalion over there.
Yeah. Good old Hell Company.
That's right. Yeah, we were both Hell Company for sure. It's good times. Awesome. So, okay, what is your current preferred Battletech format? Are you a Classic or an Alpha Strike guy?
Alpha Strike, through and through. If I'm playing Classic and I'm not hearing Mega Mech dings, something's gone wrong.
That's true.
I can count on one hand the amount of times I've played Classic in the last like 3 years.
You mean on the table? Yeah.
It's not that I don't like it. It's that time wise, it's just so much more efficient to play Alpha Strike.
Yeah.
And I enjoy bigger games, and Classic Battletech is not very conducive to bigger games.
Sure, yeah. If you want 20 mechs on the table, Alpha Strike's your go-to.
If I'm throwing companies into a game, like Classic's going to bog down real quick.
No, I totally get that. It's interesting, though, because like Oklahoma is definitely a Classic-heavy state. We do have a lot of Alpha Strike, don't get me wrong. But, you know, most of the people who run everything have been playing since the 80s and 90s. And so it's usually Classic first. But then, like I said, we're definitely adding more Alpha Strike as it goes on. We have a fairly large Battletech group in Oklahoma, which is pretty awesome, I must say. But, yeah, that's awesome. Obviously, Alpha Strike is kind of the new hotness, even though it's been out for what, like 10, 15 years now, you know, in some form or factor. Yeah. But it definitely is gaining a lot of traction with people coming from other miniature tabletop games.
Yeah.
and definitely kind of has the ability to be more competitive, which is great. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. I love Classic for the narrative stuff. I love campaign play. And I think that is its niche. That's its perfect fit, you know, for Classic.
I mean, there's the constant joke that, you know, Classic is a RPG pretending to be a tabletop war game.
Absolutely.
And it's not entirely wrong.
No, not at all. Although it's also pretending to be an RPG because it's a RPG light, you know.
It feels weird because it's a unit RPG. It's not a person RPG.
And right. So
it feels weird. And then when you try to use the RPG elements, it gets a little odd.
Yeah, unless you have some experienced TTRPG players, it can definitely feel, you know, it's going to feel that way, I feel like. So
yeah.
I used to feel way too many times in that sense.
Although supposedly they're making another BattleTech RPG.
They are.
Format. And hopefully, they split the difference between Destiny and the Time of War.
Agreed.
And because hit time that of, beautiful middle ground, because that's kind of what we need.
A Time of War is definitely a bygone... it's a product of a bygone era. It is functional, but it's very crunchy, as the term in the TTRPG space uses.
It's very much an 80s RPG.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. I happen to love some of the 80s RPGs. Have and I understand it because I'm a pretty experienced RPG player, but I know a lot of BattleTech players are like, I don't get this. And then Destiny came in and was good, but it was too light of a system.
Yeah, and then swung all the way over. Yeah,
way too far. And then on top of that, they tried to do the whole queue system.
Yeah.
And I hate the queue system. If anyone at CGL is listening, sorry, it's my opinion. I hate the queue system. Yeah, because unless you have...
It's an RPG designed to not have a DM, pretty much.
Well... Kind of. And here's the thing, though. With the queue system, though, every player has to be at least decent at being a GM.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the queue system. I have recently played an RPG that is specifically designed to be a GM-less RPG. And I think that it would be amazing to apply that to BattleTech. Because essentially, Chandler, what it is BattleTech Aces, but for an RPG system.
Yeah.
So you've got a card deck and you make decisions based on the cards you have. There's still an RPG element. There's still, kind of leveling characters and stuff like that.
You still make your character and you throw them into life and death scenarios.
Right. And the system that I play doesn't even use dice. It just uses the cards for RNG. And it's a phenomenal system. I know. BattleTech needs dice. BattleTech needs dice. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
not even BattleTech.
Yeah.
I got all these D20s, man.
That's true. I have many as well. Anyway. Okay, so what is your favorite faction at the moment? Because we all know it changes for all of us. And or mercenary unit right now.
I'm a leaguer at heart. Free Worlds League all the way, baby.
Nice. Purple bird.
Purple burb. When I first started getting into BattleTech, I was very, I want to say Republic was probably my first love, but very, very, very quickly saw the writing on the wall with them, and I wasn't quite sold on them yet, so I kind of shifted away. I flirted with Clan Wolverine, as every new BattleTech person does, and quickly was like, why am I here? There's nothing here. Right. Why am I doing this?
Because some old BattleTech player was like, have you heard about Clan Wolverine?
Yeah. Well, yeah, someone was like, yeah, you like the clans, but you don't like the clans. And it's like, yeah.
Right. That's okay.
You know, new person with stars in my
and
eyes.
And for all my friends that are big Clan Wolverines, nothing against Clan Wolverine. It's just funny because I feel like that is kind of the path. Like, you know, some of us who have been in it for a long time.
You... and then you go, yeah, but these guys are like the anti-clan.
I mean, I came into BattleTech, like 91. And so it was right at the cusp of the clan invasion. So I didn't have the long-term love affair with the succession wars that the, 80s BattleTech players had.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 90, not 91, 89 or 90. I was young. I was like 8. But
time means nothing to you when you're that age.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And I was reading the novels. So I had read the novels. I was, you know, the Succession War stuff was cool, but then all of a sudden, boom, Clan Invasion happened. I'm like, what? Who are these crazy cool, you know, mechs with like way better weapons? And of course, as an 8-year-old, I'm like, give me the good guns.
Yeah. Give me a fat 15 Mad Cats.
Yes. Now I did not go to Clan Wolf. Okay. I did like Clan Wolf when MechWarrior 2 came out. I had a brief stint with them.
Everyone has the guilty pleasure of enjoying Clan Wolf.
You don't
have to like Clan Wolf, but like right. It's just fun to kind of just have them around.
Well, and then, you know, as being someone who read through the Blood of Kerensky trilogy as they were being released, everyone liked Clan Wolf at that point. Yeah, you know, Yeah. Now, soon after that, like I said, too, we got MechWarrior 2. And so Wolf and Falcon were there. And of course, you know, Jade Falcons, even though you got to play as them if you wanted to, they were still kind of like the bad guys. But then Ghost Bear Legacy expansion pack came out. And oh boy, I definitely switched to Ghost Bear at that point, like many people. but. That's been a long time. You know, things have changed. But that's good. I do appreciate it.
Free Worlds League. Definitely a federal leaguer, which is kind of weird.
Okay. Interesting.
I think all the provincials need to stay in line. Dang it.
That's funny.
What's the prop? Am I allowed to curse? Is this a PG-13 show? I don't
know. It's fine. It's fine. You know. I mean, if we can keep it, we try to keep it a little family friendly. But,
yeah, not just strings of curses.
Yeah. Let's not do that. But you're not going to get in trouble or anything. No judgment.
But I also appreciate the provinces, you know.
Nice.
You can't have a free world league without the provinces.
Yeah. I have definitely appreciated them way more recently. So. The Free Worlds League.
The Dark Age and Ill-Clan era, the Free Worlds League has definitely grown into its own. It's gotten a lot more interesting.
So
prior to the Jihad, there was like no Free Worlds League stuff. Like they were just kind of there.
Yep. No, that's cool. And then did you have a favored mercenary unit at all?
Not really. Okay. I never really got into mercs.
That's okay.
I always thought they were a little snooty. Which is a little snooty. Weird.
Yeah. That's funny. I mean, definitely those Wolf Dragoons players are pretty snooty.
Yeah,
so.
That doesn't help with a lot of the, you know, mercenary books being Kellhounds and Wolf Dragoons. So it's like, you guys are barely even mercs at this point. Like,
yeah.
You look at all the other big merc groups, like Northwind Highlanders, they're not mercs. They have a label of mercenary. They're barely mercenaries.
Yeah.
They're usually a house unit.
Yeah.
And then there's the Mac, which becomes a house unit.
For sure. Much like our unit today, but
yes.
We'll cover that in a minute. Awesome. Well, okay. We've gotten the introductions out of the way. So let's dive into the Chaos Irregulars, shall we? They were first founded. Oh, you know what? I've got to go to my presentation. What am I thinking?
The presentation.
So first and foremost, if this is your first time with the show, you need to check out Fortress Miniatures and Games. They are the show sponsor. They have everything that you need for your Battletech and other games. Definitely support your local game shop if you have one. But if you don't, check them out. They're awesome. And they are friends of the show.
Yeah. I mean, so, your local game store is great, and you should support them.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
As long as they're, you know, not jerks.
True.
But they can't have everything.
You know.
And that's where, you know, Fortress comes in. Especially like Ironwind products. Like,
it's
silly to expect a store to stock them, to be honest. It's kind of like Forge World products for games.
Yeah, in today's economy.
You're not
going to
get a store with
them. Yeah, in today's economy, you are not going to have walls of pegboards of miniatures.
Ironwind's stock in this economy?
Yeah. That said, we do have one in Oklahoma that carries us at least a decent selection. And then they'll order for you. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. But let's take a look, shall we, at the Chaos Irregulars for episode 21. It's a really interesting unit. So we're gonna kind of dive into it here. They were founded in the year 3066. So to this point, I'm pretty sure they are the newest unit that we've covered. Most of the others are like, 2780 or something for their start date. Other than the Killhounds.
Usually Grey Death Legion.
Yeah. But this is a post-Civil War mercenary unit. They first appeared in fiction in Battlecore as a serial story written by Kevin Killiani. Hopefully I'm saying that name right. In 2005. And so they showed up at the first story written was called Decision at Akamar. Akamar? Something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, we pronounce things professionally. Here in the Mercenary Star podcast. We mispronounce things
professionally.
That's exactly right.
Aerofibrous.
Yeah. But the cool thing about them is they were formed from two units, the Sorensen Strikers and the Peregrine Hussars. And they kept basically both commanders, kept a co-leader structure, co-colonel command structure.
Co-console, maybe.
Yes. And so they were formed by Obadiah Jake Chawla and Ariel Peregrine Simpson. And they were joint colonels.
Unsurprisingly, Obadiah is of the Sorensen Strikers, and yes. Ariel is, of course, of the Peregrine Hussars.
It kind of makes unsurprisingly. Sense. Unsurprisingly. Absolutely. But... It was an interesting time in BattleTech history, in real life here, in that we didn't have a lot of fiction coming out in print because print was difficult. The Dark Age had already kind of happened and kind of failed from, WizKids and FanPro. And I think there were some other publishing issues, so we weren't getting a lot of printed books during that time. Anyway, I missed Battlecore almost completely. Yeah, because in 2005, I was solidly like post-college working, doing a lot of, grown-up-y things. And BattleTech had kind of stagnated in the early 2000s. So that said, they did take the whole collection of these stories, and in 2013, which CGL had them by then, they put out two Battlecore anthology books for them. The first one was called Chaos Born, which is book one of the Chaos Irregulars, and the second one was called Chaos Formed, book two of the Chaos Irregulars. Both came out in 2013. The first book had Decision of Akamar, Crossroads at Outreach, Determination of Wallace, Encounter at El Giza, and then Gambit of at Noiselle Part 1. And then the second book had Gambit of Noiselle Part 2, Endgame at Engadine, Convergence of Khan Kane, and then Crucible Crucible at Campo Leon. So there was 9 short stories written, although Gambit of Noiselle was actually
two-parter.
It was a two-parter, and it ended up being a novella in length. And I think Kevin was quoted somewhere as saying that it basically ended up being way longer than he thought it was going to be. So.
Yeah, it kind of feels like one of those shrapnel stories that's like, yeah, it's supposed to be a one-issue thing, and then suddenly 3 issues later, you're like, oh, Yeah. The story's still going.
Still going.
We're at part four.
But it is also the one that I'm most interested in because I have a fascination with Noiselle. And so we'll talk about that in a few. But yeah, so that was a lot back then. And it was one of the few serial novels that I think went that long. Or serial stories, anyway.
Yeah.
I know there's others.
The history of the Castle Regulus is really weird. Like, in real life timeline. Because, like, they're introduced in...
Right.
Like, I think the Mercenary Supplemental. Which is WizKids.
No, the Mercenary Supplemental came out after.
After the stories?
Yeah.
So the stories are what? 2013?
No. 2005 was when the first story came out, and it was introduced, and then the supplemental. As I go,
the supplemental kind of gives you like a condensed. This is who they are, but it's a WizKids product, which is kind of weird,
right? And it came out in 2006, so it was a year later.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, the condensed, the anthology was 2013, that's what it was.
Right, the Battlecore collection. So, but yeah, so if you're watching on the YouTube, because we are a YouTube podcast as well as an audio podcast. So if you watch on the YouTube, which is youtube.com/@TheMercenaryStarPodcast, you can see the really... cool, really dated cover art for Chaos Born and Chaos Formed, which Chaos Born has the Huron Warrior on it. And then Chaos Formed, is that a Spectre? Is that an old Spectre? I don't know, honestly.
That's a Scarabus.
That's a Scarabus. Okay. See, I was like, I don't remember what
the
neck that is. I mean,
you say old art. Like, I prefer this to a lot of the new Legend stuff, to be completely honest.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
There's no floating head.
There is no floating head. That's true. That was much better. Yeah, these are much better than the Dark Age novels where there'd be a floating head of a character, a mech, and then maybe some other characters down below.
Yeah. Well, like, the original Dark Age novel covers weren't bad. And then when they got reprinted, I mean, some of them were pretty good. Like, my favorite set, the last four, all have really good covers.
Okay, so yes. Maybe that's yes.
I'm biased.
No. Some of them do, for sure.
And then the new covers are good quality, but I don't think they're as good covers.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, I totally get that.
Because totally like a mech on the front doesn't really tell me what's going on.
No, not unless it's an iconic scene once you read through it. So
like I know I'm not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but like at the same time, if I'm buying a book.
Oh, come on. We're sci-fi fantasy nerds.
I need to be able to judge the book by the cover if I'm buying a new book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay, pre-internet, that's what we all did. We judged books by the covers.
You'd go to Barnes & Noble or Borders or...
Walden's Books was mine. Here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you'd go and you'd sift through all the books and, like, hey, this one's got a cool cover. Let's read the back.
100%.
And I don't think the new Legends books covers will do that. But at the same time, it's a different era.
Some of them that have been redone are pretty good. And I think it's because they have been redone with the new mech models, but it makes it look almost the same as the old covers.
Yeah.
And those...
Plus there's the one with the Zeus-X on the front. That one's good. But I think that's also because the original also had the Zeus-X on it, so it just is like an update.
Right.
Awesome. To loop back into the Chaos Irregulars.
Back to the Chaos Irregulars.
To ride the Chimera, the new cover sucks compared to the old one.
Well, you know, and that one only kind of has the Chaos Irregulars. It has the Chaos Irregulars descendants in it.
Yeah.
Which, so we are mentioning that here as the 10th novel or fiction to mention the Chaos Irregulars / first
something related to the Chaos Irregulars, at least.
Yes, the first, what are they? Rim Commonality Guards.
Yes.
Because that is that they are the descendants. And this was also written by Kevin Kiliani in 2008. So. And fun fact, it was the very last Dark Age novel
before
CGL. CGL. Yeah, absolutely. So.
And then they wrapped up the Dark Age novels with
Bonfire of Worlds.
Yes, it's got the Madcap Mark IV on the front.
Yes. Okay, well, hey, let's go through our unit summary, shall we? Yes, we talked a little bit. Founded in 3066, Chaos Regulars were a fusion of two previous mercenary units, Sorensen Sabres, Peregrine Hussars. They had both fought in the Battle of Akamar and couldn't really keep going, essentially, on their own. So they joined up and had the co-commander positions. They submit it to the MRBC that way, and were accepted.
I feel like this is something that you really should see more in Battletech, because like mercenary commands get chewed up and spit out by,
you know what's funny is you kind of had that in the early days, because technically you had Jamie and Joshua Wolf, you had Morgan and Patrick Kell.
I mean less the dual commanders and more the merging of merc groups, because
they've taken
critical, existence failure losses.
I think
continue in their current form.
I think it would absolutely be a regular occurrence, throughout BattleTech history. So
you kind of see it a little bit with the Kell Hounds, with like the what's their name? They have the commander who uses the Phoenix Hawk Lamb.
The Crescent Hawks.
Yeah, you kind of see it with them a little bit, but it's a different situation. Yeah. But also, they kind of end up doing the same thing.
Yes.
Where they merge back in when they needed.
Absolutely. And then you get a little bit of it now in the Ill-Clan era. Some of the Kellhounds.
Taking sledgehammers to knees.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, I agree. Like that, I could definitely see that happening way more.
Hundreds of recruits you hear about.
Oh, easily. So after forming up, they end up moving anti-spinward, which I can never tell you which direction that is looking at the map.
They essentially move to the inner
sphere. They move west.
West.
Yes.
Sorry, west.
Inner sphere west.
They go from the east to the west.
Yeah, they go inner sphere west, which is, kind of on the border between the Free Worlds League and the Lyran Commonwealth.
Yeah, what was the Lyran Alliance at the time?
True, Lyran Alliance. So, they take a bunch of short-term contracts from smaller worlds in the Melissa Theater and the Rim Commonality, which is a post-Civil War periphery nation, right?
Yeah. They're kind of weird. So at the time, they would have been part of the Regulan Thieves, Principality Regulus. And it's not until after the Jihad where they break away formally. But
yeah.
It's what would be, administratively, you would call it the Rim Commonality. It's kind of like the Panhandle, or not the Panhandle, the glove for Michigan. Like, it's part of Michigan.
Yeah.
But administratively, they just kind of do their thing.
It's its own region. They kind of govern themselves. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But prior to the unit's formation, Peregrine's Hussars were heavily linked to both the Smithson Chinese Bandits and the Broadsword Legion, who were involved in the sacking of Outreach, again, after the unit was formed in 3067.
Praise be.
Yes. However, the commander, what's her name? Ariel Peregrine.
Ariel
Peregrine said, she did not know her father's ties, because I think that's how they were tied to them, is her father.
Supposed ties.
She did not know anything about that.
Yeah.
And it finally was kind of proven, or at least they showed their loyalty against the word of Blake when they were part of Chandra Sekhar Karita's coalition, Uncle Chandy. Yep. And they defended Firebase Anno on Arcturus during the Jihad. Yeah. And drove off
the second division.
Yeah, they drove off the second division of Word of Blake, which,
That's no small feat.
That is not a small feat. That's a top, you know, top tier unit right there. So yeah, they had success against Werder Blake. They proved, you know, they weren't in league with them, at least, you know, kind of in the eyes of everybody else. One of the things that I found interesting is that they were known for having excellent tech support and the best in the periphery, which is kind of funny that to think about.
I feel like that's more of like just like people talking like, yeah, they've got the best. And it's like, well, people are saying it's the best.
Sure, sure. Well, best in the periphery. I mean, hey, if they can actually survive in the periphery.
There's a few like actual governments out there.
Well, you know, as far as mercenary units go. We'll say true. That, yeah. You know, because they were able to like, they basically had a civilian fleet that they hired, you know.
Yeah, they only ever had the one dropship, really.
Yeah, but they had a civilian fleet that they would hire, you know, and use for protection. Basically, they would trade protection for transport and trade and other stuff like that, and you know, tech support. So that's pretty fun.
Cast Regulus tech support, how can I help you?
Yes. yeah, so they had some good stuff there. Going back to the fiction a little bit, the Gambit at Noiselle. I mentioned this earlier because as the Mercenary Star podcast, I, you know, have often done deep dives into the various Mercenary Star planets in the Inner Sphere throughout the history.
Only have a mild obsession.
Maybe, just a little bit. obviously, there are the, you know, the well-known ones like Outreach, Galatea. You know, those are the two main ones. You know, Solaris wasn't really a mercenary star, but it was a well-known, you know, kind of hub.
It essentially acted as one.
Yeah, kind of a microcosm. But Noiselle is also on the list of mercenary star planets, meaning that they have popular, at least, you know, known quantity mercenary hiring halls that are recognized by like the MRBC and the Inner Sphere. And so they have one, and they have something called the Summer Mech Games that began being put on by a father and son who were some corporate executives, essentially. And they started putting on these mech games that first started by playing a rugby game with atlases. True story.
Of course, you know, why not?
You know, why not use two atlases to play rugby, right? And so it was a hit. And so since then, the Summer Mech Games have expanded. And so my fascination with them is that Noiselle has never, because they are deeper within the Lyran Alliance, Lyran Commonwealth space, they didn't suffer during the Jihad. They didn't suffer during the Clan Invasion. They didn't suffer during the Wolf Empire move through Steiner space. They're not in the Tamar region. They're close, yeah. But they're not in it.
They're very central.
They are central.
The traditional borders of the Lyran Commonwealth.
Yeah, and so they've just continued to have the Summer Mech Games and continued to be a hiring hall. And so I'm like, man, I really want to see some fiction there. So I don't know. I may have to try to do something about that, but. But I appreciate it because instead of the combat arenas of Solaris, it's more the mech piloting skill competitions of the Summer Mech Games. And you know what I kind of liken it to, and you're too young for this, but for everyone out there who's listening and you've made it this far into the podcast or the video, drop a comment or give me a shout out. Because I feel like the Summer Mech Games are the equivalent of the American Gladiators TV shows. Other than there are some real sports. Them. Yes. I feel like there's some, you know, it kind of has that vibe to it. So, you know, American Gladiators. Man, I grew up watching that. It was awesome. And But yeah, but there's also, like I said, it's also like full sports. Like there's, you know, soccer, there's American football, there's chess, like mech chess. There's even basketball and hockey. It's kind of weird, but I love it. So anyway, but the Gambit at Noiselle was a really cool story, and it was the largest story about the Chaos Regulars. And essentially what happens is that they get, you know, they suffer some setbacks and wind up on Noiselle, and they have to try to get hired, and are like, hey, these mech games are a showcase for getting hired. Imagine that. So they thought, right? Right, so they do some schmoozing, they make some contacts, and they end up getting signed up for a battle mech chess game. They do a preliminary match and win the battle mech chess game, so that they are going to be able to play in the summer games and try to attract a contract. However, before that happens, the Ariel Peregrine, she ends up meeting Giovanni Simpson, who kind of, you know, they have a little bit of a spark, a little romance. And then he says, yep, I want to hire you guys. I'm going to take you out here to this place, to Saravan, another planet. And they head out there to go defend his family's holdings. Well, lo and behold, it's a little bit of a Word of Blake setup. Can you believe it?
Always.
Who would have thought? So there's...
Word of Blake setting things
word
up
Word of Blake
this
setup.
In this time?
Who would have guessed? So yeah, there's, you know, there's drama, double crossing. There's all sorts of things that go on. I'm not going to ruin the story, but definitely go pick it up and read it. You can get it on Catalyst Game Lab's site now.
Yeah, I would just recommend a lot of the Battlecore and all the anthologies in general. They're all really good. You know, even if you don't like one story, usually there's enough stories in the anthology to where it's worth picking it up.
Absolutely. But yeah, so they basically... They basically don't die, which is more than can be said for a lot of our favorite Battletech mercenary units who died by forgetfulness on planets that got nuked or, you know, bioengineer, you know, bioweapons. I don't know. So many. But I think it was funny. There was a...
If they didn't get forgotten. They just...
They didn't get forgotten.
I read one of those.
Yeah. I find it funny, though. They find this one guy's mech at one point, and this is how they figure out it's Word of Blake, is because his passphrase was, Word of Blake, fund my path.
It's like, well, by golly, I like you the way you think.
Okay, I guess this guy was a Word of Blake agent.
Perhaps.
Yeah, so, but anyway, it's also funny because it was a specter, which is cool. We're gonna see talk about that in a minute.
It shouldn't be surprising that they
were, it should not be
battle. They were related with the Word of Blake with having a specter, but,
right?
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. So anyway, that's a fun story, and so definitely go check it out. But yeah, for being a Battlecore mercenary unit, they have quite a bit of fiction. The only artwork they have was the one I showed a minute ago with the two covers. So I'd love to see some artwork for them because, I guess technically they're not still around because what we kind of mentioned is that in 3085, they joined officially the Rim Commonality as a national unit. Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say house unit, but it's not really a house, so.
I mean, at the time, the Rim Commonality is its own nation, so. Absolutely. It is a national unit, you are correct.
Yes, a national unit. And they were their primary, reactionary force. They had a battalion of mechs, two battalions of vehicles, and then a regiment of infantry, or you know, yeah, ground support. Which is
for those of you who are like, dang, that's a lot of infantry. That's actually a pretty Free Worlds League in general thing. They just tend to have infantry.
Yeah.
Like.
But yeah, for being out in the periphery too, I mean, that's a pretty big force to defend a small periphery nation.
Hey, don't you be calling the room commonality periphery?
Well, periphery-ish.
Bordering.
Yes, yes. I couldn't tell you exactly where they are on the map, but
this may surprise you. So Free Worlds League, and then you go to their periphery border, and they're right there.
Yeah,
AKA they're pretty periphery. Much that whole border.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. But yeah, so there's a lot going on in these books too. Kevin, the author, he used a ton of mechs. He had a lot of good characters, a lot of characters with ties to other things. So anyway, it's fun.
Yeah, he does a really good job of interweaving his stuff with other things as opposed to kind of trying to railroad his ideas through. He's like, okay, well, I want to do this, so I'm going to interweave it with everything else. So we're absolutely all good.
We're going to get to our ideal Chaos Irregulars force pack in just a minute. But yeah, so to the present day, they are still part of the Rim Commonality's first Rim Commonality Guard. So they have made it, although albeit not as a mercenary unit, into the Ill-Clan era. Which is more than can be said for some.
Hey, they are a unit of good standing with the Free Worlds League military.
They are. Well, hey, let's go ahead and talk about that. What we think a good force pack for them would be, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's safe to say that the new mech would have to be Ariel Peregrine's Huron Warrior.
Definitely. I mean, it's like the whole thing that sparks the whole, are they with the Word of Blake thing?
It is.
Because people go, oh, that's weird. And then they look into a little bit further and they're like, oh, they were buddy-buddy with them. And, hey, wait a second.
Which is really funny because, like, I never, well, first of all, playing back in the 90s, you know, and early 2000s, Word of Blake was not a entity that anyone played with. so, you know, we were just like, oh, it's like a House Merrick mech or something, you know, so.
Yeah, well, it's a Capellan mech, but prior to the Jihad, the Capellans and the Word of Blake were relatively close, not as buddy buddy as the Free Worlds League and the Word of Blake became before the not so good, very bad times.
Yes,
but still friendly, and so it's not too surprising that the Word of Blake would sell a souped up Huron Warrior to a friendly mercenary company.
Not at all. Not at all.
Or gifted at that. Quote-unquote right. Sell.
Right. And I don't... Let's see. It appears that the exact one was the HUR-WO-R40 Huron Warrior.
Yeah, which is effectively your basic Huron Warrior.
Yeah.
And it's just a souped-up version of it, so I'm assuming, you know, case for one. And probably some other little doodads.
Yeah. Because that's the... Yeah, it's the 3065 refit, essentially. It has double heat sinks. And then, it has an additional ton of ammo for the Gauss rifle as well.
Yeah, so my guess, if it is souped up, it's probably got, like, ferrofibers or something, you know. Stuff that actually, is fancy but also not hard to.
It actually says it was a field modification.
Well, no, I meant the one that they have, because the one that Ariel's dad was supposed to have was supposed to be a custom one that.
Oh, really? Got. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But assuming it's based off the R4O,
Yeah, absolutely.
they probably kept it within the realm of possibility, and it's already got an Endosteel chassis,
True. But it goes it runs, 86 kph, so goes 5.8. A Gauss rifle, an ER large laser, and a medium pulse laser, though, are nothing to sneeze at. And it was relatively inexpensive. So yeah. Although it did have an XL engine, so there's that.
But I mean, those are kind of dime a dozen at that point.
It's true. It's true.
With medium mechs with gas rifles, you kind of always had to have one unless you wanted to be slow.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was the kind of like premier mech, I feel like, for the group.
Yeah, I
But
mean it's one of the two, founders' mechs, so it
it's
feels
true.
appropriate to
And
have
then the other one was
a Thanatos.
the Thanatos.
Yeah, so
I
you
love
get
the
the
Thanatos.
from Peregrines you get the Huron Warrior, and then from Sorensen you get the Thanatos.
And so we decided that it should be the variant because we did just get a Thanatos in plastic. However, there's several variants of the Thanatos because originally it was supposed to be an Omnimech, I thought.
Yeah, so when it was originally going through the design process, they were going to try to ship it as an Omnimech, and then neither the Lyrans or the Fed Sons were really biting for a new Omnimech. And so they quickly un-Omnied it, and then they picked it up. Because it's a lot cheaper,
They
And
just hard welded
they're really
everything.
going through the no good, very bad times of a civil war, so.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like I said, I like the Thanatos, so another cool addition there. For jumping, we chose the Spectre. Again, that was a key mech in the narrative.
It is a novel, important mech, and
Yeah.
we just got one in the new Kickstarter, and it jumps most of the
We
time.
did. It's pretty great. And then a mongoose. We figured a repose of the mongoose could be fun.
Yeah,
Which
because it's
the
also another mech that's kind of important to command elements in
Yeah.
the Chaos Irregulars, and it's not another heavy mech.
It's not another heavy mech. I appreciate having the varied things there. So it's a much better, lance
It's a very, very
composition.
traditional battle lance.
Yeah,
You got your heavy,
absolutely.
you've got your medium, and you got your two lights.
I like it. But yeah, so that's I don't know. I think we kind of came to that pretty easily. So there was no big like, oh, I don't know, I have this idea, but no, I thought that was good.
Yeah, the new and the variant were easily like just we were like, yep, immediately
Yep.
Huron Warrior Thanatos. It was the Spectre and the Mongoose that was like,
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
know, maybe. We thought about the grasshopper for like all of, a minute or two, and then we're like, nah.
Nah,
I
we
mean,
don't
we
need
already got
another
two
heavy.
grasshoppers at least,
Yeah, easily. And more light and medium mix, that's all I have to say.
I mean, if there's anything I hear complaints about on, all the discords and everything, is that a lot of the force packs are heavy,
It's true. It's
heavier
true.
side, which, I mean, a lot of the iconic mechs are on the heavier side, so it makes sense. But
Yeah.
as
Although
someone
they
who
could.
plays a lot of Alpha Strike, it's hard to make forces of all heavy mechs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, once again, be sure to check out our show sponsor, Fortress Game Miniatures and Games. Excuse me, Fortress Miniatures and Games. Check them out. .com. FortressMiniaturesGames.com. So, well, I think we're kind of coming to a close here, Chandler. Do you have any shout outs?
Well, of course I've got a shout out on the Origins because
Absolutely. Which is funny because I just had
as
Derek
part
on
of
here
On the
last.
Origins,
Yeah.
I gotta shout this out.
Absolutely.
For those of you who are unaware, On the Origins is a family of podcast shows that go over all of the units in BattleTech chronologically, in universe chronologically.
You guys, man, the research you guys do for
There's
that.
some regrets.
Yeah.
But we are not
'Cause
changing our methods, so we're going to keep chugging
it's
forward
not like they're
one
listed
unit
on.
at a time.
It's not like they're listed on Sarna chronologically in universe. So,
Typically, I use the master unit list for getting my chronological lists.
Hey, that's a great idea. Good job. Good job on that.
It takes a little bit of filtering because it doesn't let me just choose one chassis.
Big brain move right there. So, but yeah, On the Origins, great, great podcast. We have On the Origins of BattleMechs, which is for BattleMechs. We have Aviator Academics. Which is for aerospace and warships. Yep. And then we have Armor Up,
which is for all of your conventional assets. So all your tanks, all your VTOLs, all your battle armor. We just ran it. We just had our first battle armor episode not too long ago.
I saw that. I saw that.
The Nighthawk. Yeah. That'll be our last battle armor episode for a while.
yeah, true.
And, you know, eventually when we finally get there, Protomechs.
Somebody will be really excited when you get there.
I'm going to be really excited because I love my little dudes.
Yeah.
They're just some little guys.
Yeah, they are.
You know where you can buy some little dudes and some little guys? You can buy them from Fortress Miniatures and Games.
You can buy them from Fortress Miniatures and Games. That's right. Absolutely.
I can sell things.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. As does Fortress Miniatures and Games.
I see what you did there.
Actually, yes, I did just
say we planned that. We didn't plan that at all. No. That was
yeah, I did just get, for those watching, I did just get the House Davian Cavalier Lance, or Cavalry Lance.
It's definitely a very Cavalier Lance.
Very Cavalier for sure. Yeah, it just arrived today, so I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, and you even got your alternate gun for your Legionnaire, so you can either do the rack version or the PPC version. Or the new Risk version from the XTRO.
Yeah.
With the giant hyper laser of doom.
Well, you know, options. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I do have another shout out. Myself, as a BattleTech fan and fan of the lore, along with some people from the Mech Bay podcast and Bungle Tech podcast, have recently put out a global campaign for anyone and everyone to sign up and join and play. We decided to put our hand to some narrative and provide some mission packs. It is for both Classic and Alpha Strike. And it is set during the Civil War, Chandler.
Hey.
Yes, it is set during the FedCom Civil War. No, the FedCom Civil War. So we've got tons of cool mechs to play with. We have, you know, it's the height of, you know, big armies and mercenary units and all sorts of things. You know, there's a little bit of Word Blake stuff happening in the background, so yeah. They're there too.
You got your C3I for those of us who are people you do. Of culture.
You do, absolutely. In fact, let me. I'm just gonna share real quick.
Share.
Because we're doing it live. I'm gonna share an image that was recently given to me. Yeah, we're doing it live. Let's see. Ba-da-ba-ba. I just received this the other night because Nathan from Bungle Tech commissioned a piece of art for the campaign, and it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. So I'm just going to share it because I can, because I'm part of it.
Because you're a true homie.
That's right. But yeah, so my contributions to it are as I'm one of the people doing the lore for it. Most recently, I have been designing the Op 4 units because our story is set on Galatea. Yes, Galatea. During the Civil War, during the crazy chaos that happens on Galatea.
Nothing bad ever happens in Galatea.
Nothing bad ever happens there. No, not at all.
There is no war in Bossy, you can say.
Right. Absolutely. Great reference for sure. Let's see. Goodness gracious. Now I've got to go find it again. Here we go. Yes, here it is. So we're going to, again, this is why you go look at the video podcast. because it's awesome. And I've got to send it to Chandler because he's not watching the video podcast right now. He's in chat with me. So here you go. This is the image there for you to take a look at.
Hey, I like this. Yeah.
I know, right? Nathan, if you don't know, from Bungle Tech, is a huge Steel Viper. He's a huge Steel Viper fan. I don't know why.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, but if you look over her shoulder, there's
remember,
a
Mercenary. Always be worse.
Yeah. If you look over her shoulder, there is a Mercenary Star podcast poster on the wall.
Yeah, and then you got the Mech Bay manual on the.
You got the
table.
Mech Bay manual on the table. There's a little something something hidden there too. There's the Sphere We Live In, which is a Bungle Tech fictional series or whatever that they do. It's pretty awesome.
I like the little mechanic class ship on the side table next to the Orion.
There's a whole lot of little hints in there. The little stuffed creature in the top is it's like
stuffed
supposed
creature?
To
yes, oh, it is stuffed. It's tied
it
up
is stuffed.
There. Oh,
it is tied up there.
I thought
yes.
it was just a pet.
Nope, it's stuffed. It's supposed to be a Kodama.
It's somehow more creepy.
It is.
Now that I know it's not alive.
It is not alive. It is stuffed. You've got Nathaniel Smithson on the TV back there, who's another character from, I think, Bungle Tech. So, but yeah, a fun, fun piece of art, you know, so. Yeah,
don't
it's good times. Good times. And you know what? Maybe I'm the first to show that off. I don't know. We'll see.
This can say in the bottom right. Hold on.
What did you say?
Warning, do not consume in a high oxygen atmosphere. Do not consume in low oxygen atmosphere.
Yes. Like I said, there's lots of Easter eggs on it. So it's going to be the cover for the campaign document. So everyone can get it and take
it. Vitamin and rich carbonated, quote unquote, yes. coffee drink.
Yes.
That describes so many energy drinks today. It's not even funny.
I know. Like I said, fantastic. Fantastic. So.
Mental head check on the doorway. That's good.
Yeah. Man. Like I said, it's a fun piece of art, though, for sure. So.
I'm seeing so many little. References.
So many little references.
Block did this?
Yeah, Block did this.
He does good work.
He did. He did great work.
I don't think I've ever seen him draw people before. He did a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. The MechWarrior helmet in the glass case is also pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Very, very classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And it says it could have always been worse. And then it says it is.
I mean, FedCom Civil War era, yeah, it everything does feel like it's worse.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a
bottle of... In, you know, like 3 years is going to be like, you know that FedCom Civil War? I really miss that.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, no, like I said, there's a lot of fun little things here, for sure, so... Anyway, but hey, that's all we have for today's show. And so thank you so much for joining me, Chandler. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun to talk about the Chaos Irregulars. And we'll see you all next time. So good night. God bless.
Stay safe out there. And stop. I don't have to yell at Craig. It's really weird. Poor Craig. He's going to be so jealous. He's going to act up this next time I record. Watch. He's going to be like, he cheated on me with another recording software. He's going to know. Chapter 13, paragraph 5 of The Word of Craig. Thou shalt not deface your recordings with another software.